Verse 1, 2, and 3. I'll repeat it for my friend back there. It's a bad day. 27th of August. Let's read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. As I said last Sunday, we had 1 and 2, but the love of God bestowed, we should be called. What should we be called now that we're genuine Christians? In verse 1. What's our title? What's that?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. Sons. Daughters, sons, people of God. And so, the important thing, that's our good name. And what does the world, do they think much of us if we're sons of God, children of God? Do they think, does the world think much of the sons of God?
No.
Do they know him? No, I don't think. I don't think much of because it knoweth us not because it knew him not, and so they don't think much of that.
In the modern Bible, they change this word sons to children.
The children.
Some modern Bibles.
Some modern Bibles. Yeah. Sons, of course, in this we have sons. It means in Scripture, sons and daughters, those that are genuinely saved. And that's the reference to that. And then in verse 2, we talked last time quite at length about through the sons of God and appear when we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, we'll see him as he is. And what did we decide that appearance is? First phase or second phase of his coming? First phase, when we shall see him as he is. Who is involved in the first phase of his coming? Just them? All born again Christians. And what do some people say is involved?
Only those
who
walk in with the Lord.
Only those walking with the Lord. Just a partial rapture, just those who are following the Lord. But the scriptures say that all of us, all saved people, genuinely saved, are caught up to be with him.
Does that mean the graves are
open
also?
Yes, the graves will be open, the dead will be corruptible, incorruptible, and the rest, if we're still living, mortal, immortal. Yes.
So they've
died in the Lord. Yeah, the graves will be. Those who are dying, those genuine Christians, they're dying. That's right.
Who knows that in the grave under the age of grace and the dispensation of grace and not like Adam and Abraham?
Well, there's going to be a resurrection of Israel and the Old Testament saints. We're not sure if Scripture doesn't say exactly when, but this will specifically be for genuine Christians in this age. Pastor Dan, you have any comments on that?
I think the first phase, the rapture of the church is for the church.
Yes.
For the people in this dispensation of grace.
So there'll be other times of resurrection of others. And then in verse number 3, that's the beginning for today we didn't cover last week. What does this word man refer to? Any hands on that? Verse 2. Barbara? First chapter 3, verse 3. Barbara?
It would be every believer.
Yes, and also only the males?
No.
But what? Okay, so this is the word is man, but it means human being. See, human being that's here. And every man, every person that has this hope, what hope is referred to here? Any hands on that? What hope is referred to that, Tammy?
The hope of the rapture.
Hope of the rapture. That's the blessed hope. It says in Titus chapter 2:13, isn't it? The blessed hope, the rapture, ones that we will be like him when we shall see him as he is. Refers back to verse 2, doesn't it? And if we have this hope, what should happen then? Any hands on that in verse number 3? What should happen? Yes, Barbara, Joanne.
Purified.
Yeah, well, what does it say about purification? Are they, or? What does it say about purified?
That Jesus is purified.
Is that what it means, though?
Himself.
Well, it says every person that hath this hope in him, what do they do?
Purifying themselves.
That's right. In other words, that's what they should do.
Purify yourself.
Joanne, you had something? No hands on it. Pardon, John, you're right. I mean, Barbara.
That you want to walk even as he walked. It goes back to keeping short account.
All right. Short account to the Lord. Yeah, fine.
I just wonder how to purify yourself.
Well, you keep close to the Lord. Anybody have an answer to that?
Well,
The blood of Jesus
Tammy?
Purified us.
Go ahead, Tammy. Hands.
Walk by grace.
Walk by grace.
And by the power of the
Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Any other hands on that? One more comment? Yes, go ahead, Joanne. Excuse me. Barbara. I know. Joanne's not used to being here, so I got her on my mind.
Sit over here so you're not
confused.
That's right. I'm Eleanor anyway. John 1:9. Keep our sins confessed.
Keep our sins confessed. Joanne, you have something on that? How we get purified?
I thought that we were purified because of the blood of Jesus on the cross.
Well, that's true. That's purified in the past, once for all. But there's a present aspect of purification. What does purification mean, Paul?
Well, obviously the only way to be purified is by the Holy Spirit. We just meditate, just read, be close to the Lord, just read His Word, and let His Spirit fill us.
That's a good answer. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Well, Joanne is saying, as far as she's been identified, the saving grace, blood of the cross,
mm-hmm.
but also the sanctifying grace we have mm-hmm. to have for confession of sins, because it's all based upon what was done on the cross.
Mm-hmm. And as Paul says, walking with the Lord, yes, Barbara.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Mm-hmm. So, the purification continuously, see, day by day, moment by moment, walking with the Lord, as Paul said, filled and led by the Spirit of God. That's purifying us. We ought to keep pure. And in other words, don't want to be contaminated with the world and wickedness and the sinfulness of the world. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Tammy, then Barbara.
Getting back to what Paul was saying about reading the Word of God, mm-hmm. it says in John 15, now you are clean by the Word of God.
Good. Yes, that's part of purification, clean by the Word. That's good. Yeah, Barbara.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
It's good to cleanse ourselves with these things. See, so that's part of us to do, see. So every man that's in this, we got this whole purified. Now, it should purify, but do every Christian that's genuinely saved purify themselves? No, they don't. It's sad when they're just weak and weak. But that's what should happen. Every person that has this opinion, continue to purify, even as he is. Who's he referred to in verse 3? Sammy?
Lord
Jesus Christ. Okay, so that he is pure, absolutely pure, sinless. Well, let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Right, verse 4. Whoever committeth, what does committeth mean? Any hands on that? Yes, Barbara, Tammy.
They do it.
Commit. To really sin, that's what it means. And now, that's in the Greek present tense, so it continuously commits sin. There's a lot of present tenses there. We don't understand it. We don't know what the background of it. What is true if the person that continues to commit sin? What happens? Yes, Joanne.
You're breaking the law.
Breaking the law, transgressing the law. And then sin is the transgression of the law. That's by definition. Transgression of the law. Whether the law of Moses or any law that God has given to us in the Old Testament or New Testament. Then verse 5, what is the purpose of the Lord Jesus here? Who's the he referred to in verse 5? Yes, Barbara?
Right.
Lord Jesus Christ, back to that. Back to that.
It's a message from York, Pennsylvania.
My, that's
hello,
great.
Hello, everyone, and happy anniversary to Grandma and Grandpa.
Let's wave to little Anna, this big Anna now. Diana, wait. Now, thank you, Anna, for calling and for that wish. We're wonderful wishing you. All right, so that's a good thing.
He's keeping a big secret. He's going to have a big celebration this afternoon.
He is? Okay.
I'm joking.
Now, it defines sin, and you know that he was manifest. What does that word mean? Any hands on that? Manifested. This time.
Well, if it was revealed, it it relates to his incarnation.
All right. He was manifested. Remember 1 Timothy 3:16? God was what? Manifest in the flesh. So that's manifestation. It came in incarnation. Was that right? Manifested. He was manifested. What was the purpose of his manifestation according to verse number 5? Any hand in that? Yes, Barbara. Supervisor Joanne.
To take away our sins.
To take away our sins. Who's the R referred to, you think?
I think there's all of the people.
What did the hyper-Calvinists say the us refers to?
Just the elect.
Just the elect. Only the elect. But the way you take away. Now, does that mean that everybody is saved universally? No. What does it mean? Yes, Barbara?
Whoever will accept.
All right, Bill?
Same thing.
In other words, it's a good Tammy?
The way has been made available to all who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm.
That's right. So the provision has been made. Take it out, but you have to accept the provision for yourself, and whosoever will let it take the water of life freely. So it's got to be made. That's very important, isn't it? So it's not a universalism, but it's universal provision, but not a universal salvation. Did you know?
I was going to say, the way my mother, I remember, explained it to me. He's knocking at the door. We have to let him in.
Yes, amen. That's your mama. That's good. Did you let him in?
Yes.
Good. That's good. That's good, Joanne. Praise the Lord for that. So, I have a takeaway. Now, what is true in the last part of verse 5? It's very important. Yes, Barbara?
In him is no sin.
Now, that's the sinlessness of our Savior. No sin whatever. Absolutely pure. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, no sin of any kind. Yes, Barbara?
There is no sin in him, but he was made sin for us.
Made sin for us, absolutely. And 2 Corinthians 5:10, he was made sin for us, that we who knew no, he knew no sin, made sin for us, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So very important, made sin. And the only reason he could take our sins in his own body is because he had no sin of his own. If he had sin of his own, could he die for the sins of all?
No,
he couldn't do it. See, he was sinless, but he was made sin, and took upon ourselves the sin, himself the sins of the world.
Is that 5:21,
I think.
Oh, 5:21.
I think it's 5:21, okay. I believe. God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that it? 5:21, yes. Very important. Oh, yeah, 5:21. So this is very important, isn't it? Then in verse number 6, what is true, now that word abide is a continuous action, it's a present tense continuous action. What is true of those that continuously abide in him? Continuously abide. What does the word abide mean? Abide, yes, Joanne? Excuse me. Barbara?
Remain?
Yeah, I'm not used to Joanne being here, so Joanne all the time. Joanne, good to see you, Joanne. Come again. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
To remain.
Okay, Tammy? You had your hand up? No.
Stay.
To stay. And that means continuously. In other words, abide in me and I in you, then you bring forth much fruit. It's a continuously standing strong moment by moment with the Lord. If any man abide in him, that's present tense stand. What is the truth? That's true. Real strong abiding. What's the truth then? Verse number 6. Yeah, Barbara?
Then it's not.
See, in other words, it doesn't mean he never sins, but does not continue in sin. I had a person call me this last week, and he wrote me an email. And ask a question. They said, I have a friend for many years, and the person claims to be a Christian. But yet, he takes 2 or 3 drinks every day, ever since, day after day after day. Furthermore, he goes to a church that's apostate, unbelieving church. What do you think? Do you think that man's a Christian? I wrote her back and quoted what the Lord said, by their fruits ye shall know them. The next couple of verses, the man says, Lord, Lord, and yet doesn't do my will. Yeah, I never knew him. See, in other words, so far as I told the person, as far as I'm concerned, that particular person is not saved. He maybe says it or thinks it will be his, but that's the fact that who they abideth in me does not continue in sin. Yeah, Tammy.
That's John 15 as well. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except
it
abide in the vine, no more can
ye
except ye abide in me.
That's good, abiding in the vine. In other words, by their works ye shall know them. And the Lord told us that. Are there a lot of people that profess to be Christians and yet not possess? Yeah, there are. Of course, that word Christian, you know, whether it's Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, I mean, all kinds of Methodist church, they profess. But what does it mean to be a genuine Christian? Any hands on that? What does it mean to be a genuine Christian? Bill?
The Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
All right. How do you get into that love into the Christian, genuine Christian?
Read the Bible and obey the Bible.
Okay. What specifically does a person need? Any hands on that? Tammy?
They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross, for
their sins. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
John 3:16.
Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that believing with the head only? See, there's the heart. That's right. See, before I was a Christian, my mom told me to go to her church. She was a Methodist. Went to the Methodist church, and every single morning service, they gave the Apostles' Creed. I believe God for all that. Was I saved by repeating that creed? No. See, that's more. You must trust and believe individually than to be, as John 3:16 says. Yes.
I remember when I was a new Christian, having to explain that trusting, like when we sit down on a chair, we are trusting that it will hold us. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, we need to trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross by putting our reliance upon him.
Very good. Mind of the heart, as Paul says, and trusting just like a chair. Some chairs don't hold you up, and but the Lord never fails to hold you, never gives way, never breaks down. He's permanent and strong and able. All right, so in verse number 6, whosoever sins continues, and I think in a present continuous action in the Greek text, continues in what's true of that person. Yeah, Barbara?
Hasn't seen him or
knows him. Hasn't seen him or see, this is a criticism of those that, again, professing but not possessing. There's a difference, isn't there? What is the difference, by the way? Give me an answer to that, someone with hands up. What's the difference between professing something and possessing something?
Well, I might say I have $100,
yeah.
But I might not have $100.
Yeah.
That it, you know, if I have $100, it's
actually
in my hand. Yes. But if I just say, well, I have $100, that might happen,
and
it might not.
That's right. So it's important that our profession is, confession is part of our possession of whatever it is. It's very important that that be the case. And, yes, Tammy.
Would you explain what the difference is between, is it the word sinneth? That makes it continuous.
In verse what?
Well, I don't know. You've been talking about.
Oh yeah.
It's a.
Book of Sinai, verse 6. Verse 6 is Sinai.
Yes. Verse 6 anyway. Mm-hmm. It's continuous. The Greek word. So what? What's the difference as far as, I mean, if I was going to look at the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the difference?
The difference would be the present tense instead of the imperfect tense or any of the past tenses of the Greek. So you get present tense, and tense is always progressive action, continuous action.
It's present tense?
Yeah, present tense, that's right.
Okay.
So that's the difference, and of course, the English doesn't tell us that, but we've got to dig deeper a little bit and see these things. But otherwise, it would mean you'd have sinless perfection.
So then anytime we see the present tense,
yes.
And it would have the same implications, not continue.
That's right, the continuous action. That's the present, Greek present is continuous. That's simply like we say, I am here. Well, Greek present, I'm continuously here. But I'm not continuously here because I've got to go upstairs and go outside and so on.
Okay, but there's the I am here is present too.
Yeah, I am here, but
so
I am here.
It's a present tense.
Continuous here. If I'm
perfect.
Well, if I'm saying in English, "Oh, I'm here," that means I'm right here, present. But if it's in the Greek, Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always in existence. It's a continuous action, continuous presence of the Lord.
Okay.
All right.
Present active indicative.
Right? Present active indicative in the Greek language. So this word committing continuously commits sin. You see, because if we translate that as some do and some believe in verse 6, whosoever sinneth had not seen him. Well, every one of us has got the flesh of regenerate Christian saved people. And so we can't say we never sin. We got the sin flesh, and sometimes we do sin. We got to take it the first time one night that we agree with God's sin, confess it, and be cleansed. But if you don't understand this is continuous action, you go right into the hands of perfectibility, see? Like, I guess some of the hyper people forget all the details.
But it's all have sinned.
Oh, yes, all have sinned. That's right. And, you see, if we say you have not sinned, I mean, you lie, but all of us sin. But if you say we have not continued in sin, anybody that continues in sin, God says, I never knew you. In other words, it's not like that person that called me on the phone. Here's a man for 30 years, goes to a apostate church that preaches a false gospel, drinks 2-3 times a day, you know. But Christians, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't do it with poison, and like drinking certainly is poison. That's strength.
I think when you say you sin, you know that you sin.
Yes.
I mean, you know that you did wrong.
Right.
And that's, you know, when you ask Jesus to forgive you.
Right.
I mean, I lose my temper all the time.
Sure, sure.
And I'm constantly asking God
to forgive. Absolutely. That's all of us have sinned. We have to confess our sin. None of us is perfect, but see, this implies, if you don't understand this continuous action, it implies sinless perfection.
Right.
But we don't want to comply to that at all. That's verse number 6. Abideth, continue by them, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, yeah, continues to sin, hath not seen him, neither known him. It's
tiny. I have another question. Like
yes.
4.
All right.
Sorry, going back. Whosoever committed sin, what is that?
Continuously commits sin.
So that one also is the
yes.
sin?
Yes. Transgresses the law, I believe so. Right. And so that transgresses also the law. No, either you commit, if it just one time commits sin, just one time, it could be the same. Yeah, fine.
If we are abiding in Christ, we aren't sinning.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, whosoever sins not has not seen him. Yes. Even known him.
Yeah,
so we, at this sort of context, you can't sin not almost. We sin and don't
even know we're sinning. Well, that's why it's important to know the tense of the Greek that's underneath that.
Yeah, I missed that all.
Well, no, that's all right, but that was verse number 5, was it? Or
6.
Or 6. All right, let's go. If whosoever continues to abide in him doesn't continue to sin.
Right.
So that's it.
I get that.
So it's got to continue. And whosoever continues to sin has not seen him, neither nor him. That's why that question was asked.
You don't think they're not saved at all. Because if
that's
you
right.
continue to sin, well, how much sin can you do until the end?
Well, if it's a continuous, not once, no, once a while. Sin. But continuous sin, you wonder whether it's real Christian. Whether the Lord said, by your fruits, you shall know who's really a follower of me. And fruits mean what they do, what they say. We can't see what they think, but we hear what they say, we see what they do. That's why that lady, the question was a valid question. What do you think of that person's genuine salvation? And I told that person, it seems to me. And I quoted the whole section, not only by the fruit you shall know, but the next 2 verses also say, he that says, Lord, Lord, and yet doesn't do the things I say, I don't want to hear him. He has no part in me. See, the Lord really says it straight about people that continuously live in sin. They're not a part of the Lord's work. See, any other comments? Yeah, Joanne. I mean, Barbara. Oh, at least you're a different name than the other one.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Identity. to help Tammy out a little bit,
yeah.
and correct me here, ETH, the F, committed,
yeah.
is always present continuous mm-hmm. action.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
help? That's true.
Yeah,
continuous,
that's
yes.
Is that,
yeah.
is that right?
Yeah. Continuous, that's it. Yeah. Yes, sir. I got you. And
the
ETH,
the
end. Yeah, the ETH on the end, yeah.
On the verb.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Continuous. And okay. I don't know, there may be some present tenses that are not with that, but in English we have continuous. That shows it's a present continuous action.
Does that help?
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. All right, any other comments on it?
Catching on to that.
We read what? 4, 5, and 6, didn't we?
But I need to go back to
go ahead, Ron. Oh, you got another call?
No, I'm just looking.
Oh, okay.
I was going to look up those verses.
Yes.
Talking about Lord, Lord. And,
oh, yes.
And do you know where they are?
Well, it's in Matthew chapter, I don't remember the chapter, but look it up on fruits, you should know them. Look under fruits.
Yeah, okay.
And that will be in that. Please read the next two verses, because those are very vital in the understanding of what the Lord meant.
The next two verses, 7
and 8? No, I mean the verses that by their fruits ye shall know them.
Okay.
Matthew 7:16. Okay. Read for us. 7:16, 7:18. She's got a computer right on her phone. That's good.
Yeah.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes, the thorns, or figs? No, this is a different one.
Yeah, by their fruits ye shall know them. Is that Matthew?
7:16.
So
ye shall know them by their fruits.
That's a different one.
Different translation.
The next verse you were saying, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
That's not this one. So,
see, there may be, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they probably all have something about fruits, but is that what it is? By their fruits, he said, Rob, if you can give us a hint on that, if you're listening.
Oh, 720.
By their fruits.
720.
Okay.
Wherefore, same passage, just a little farther down. By their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Doeth the will.
Many shall say to me in this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.
Continue.
But he that continues to do the will of my Father.
And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Those that are continuously working the wrong things, depart from me. I mean, that's the Lord saying it, not us.
7:19, 7:19, 20:23.
Good. All right, anything else on 6? Well, let's move on and read 7, 8, and 9 together. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For he that needeth reigneth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. All right, verse number 7. Verse number 7. Who's he talking to here? Any hands on that? Okay, fine. I like your hand. It's a good hand. Go ahead, hon. Absolutely.
What was the question?
What is little children? What is it about that?
What little children?
Yeah, what does that mean? Let me tell you.
That means the young Christian.
All right.
Or
how many?
He calls them all his children.
That's true. What are the three things he talked to in the first time? What are the three groups of people? Tammy?
Little children.
Young men.
And fathers.
This is the first group. Probably recently saved, just young people.
Interesting, you talk to the male.
Yes. Little children.
Leaders.
Well, any little children, whether it's boy or girl. Yes, the Tammy.
This is the message from York.
Good.
They seem to be relying on their own works in that Matthew passage. Those that said, Lord, Lord.
Yes. Let's wave again to
Anna Maria.
Anna Maria. Wait. Good. Thank you, Anna. York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Anna.
Keep listening. Keep talking. Keep giving us answers, Tammy. I mean, Anna. You got the answers. So, Anna. All right. So, little children. Now, what's this next thing about deception? What is the definition of deception, Barbara?
To deceive, you basically defraud somebody.
Could be. Yeah. Paul, you have something? Deceive.
It could be lies.
Lies deceived.
What? Tell me what you're talking about.
How is the meaning of deceive? Did you raise your hand?
I can't seem to raise my hand. I can't seem to think about raising my hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go on, see it. There, let's go.
I have written here, little children, let no man, and right up above that, I have to stop. Yep. So they evidently are being deceived. Because you must preach this one. Stop.
Stop being deceived. Maybe it's a,
stop letting them.
Yes. It says present tense and negative. Negative things in the present tense. Stop an action already in progress. Mm-hmm. So stop it. Yes. What verse is that?
That's chapter 7.
Yeah, apparently. But no man sees. Probably stop it. Probably preach that one time. Probably in my book for a second, third time. Yes.
Oh, where would that be?
I don't know. Hiding on the rack right there. Yes. Good. Barbara.
Deceive is return from the truth.
That's right. That's right. See? Receive is return from the truth. And what else about this section? Is that outright clear cut? Yeah. Tammy?
It's trickery.
Trickery? That's right. It's disguised as truth, but underneath, see, it's hidden. It's disguised. Pardon me? That's fine. There are only so many colors in the rainbow. Got two of the same book. That's fine. Two of the book.
Red, orange, yellow, blue, green. Oh, and
you've
got a violet.
Good.
We have a purple.
Right in here.
Do you have a purple?
We have different books. That may be the Bible book, maybe different books.
Yeah,
Hebrews is somewhat prohibitive. Who knows? But when I asked the publisher this time, she suggested gray. Gray doesn't look too good for me. It doesn't sparkle. It just sits there, but it's a different color.
Which one's gray?
That's the Titus, yeah.
She didn't select gray.
Well, you know, she suggested gray. I said, well, let's take a look at it.
It looks nice.
Looks nice, but...
That's it.
Yeah, it looks nice, but it's a little bit. It doesn't stand out. Sort of. Yeah, it doesn't stand out. Yeah, I like things that stand out sharp, clear. Anyway, verse number. What was we on? Verse 7. Okay, little children, stop letting men deceive you. Then, what does the principle in that verse teach us? What's the next part of that verse? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
Continually doing righteousness.
He continuously is righteous. He that continues to do righteousness is righteous. In other words, a continuous idea. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're like the other answer.
Tammy, then Yvonne. Wait, Tam?
Oh, no.
Okay, Yvonne.
I want to read this from 1 John 3, 7. It's so that no man deceives you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Stop being deceived. In the pause, let no man deceive you. The word deceive is in the Greek present tense. This is a negative prohibition. If it were the Greek aorist tense, it would mean not even begin an action. The Greek present tense means stop an action already in progress.
Good.
And evidently, they were letting men deceive them.
Yes, apparently.
Apparently, these newly saved Christians were being deceived. John told them to stop letting anyone deceive you. People who continue to do Greek present tense righteousness are righteous, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. The meaning of the word plano, the Greek word for deceive, is plano, P-L-A-N-O.
Plano, yes.
Some of the meanings of this Greek word, which we have seen before in 1 John 1:8 and 2:26, are to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead aside from the right way, to go astray, wander, roam about, mess up, to lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to deceive, to be led into error, to be led aside from the path of virtue, to go astray, sin, to serve or fall away from the truth, of heretic, to be led away into error. God does not want his genuine Christian to be deceived by anyone or anybody. God does not want us to be deceived at all. Often deception is difficult to check until deception has affected a person's behavior.
Okay, that's it. I'm not read too much.
Well, that's the whole thing on Anatomy of Science.
All right. Now, are we being Christian, born again, saved, genuine Christian? Are we being deceived today by others and by whom? Who deceives us? Any hands on that? Yes, Barbara?
We can deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves. Any other comments? Any other hands? Who deceives us? Yeah, Barbara?
Let no man deceive you.
No man deceives you. But who will be deceived right now in this world? At Penny?
The world itself can be
deceptive. All right. What part of the world? Okay, yes, Joanne?
Well, if you think that somebody's a Christian, they can deceive you.
Yes, all right. Yeah, Joanne? Or Barbara?
The world itself is deceived because they're in blindness.
All right. What are some of the things that are deceptive? For instance, do all the newspapers and magazines and television people tell us truth?
No.
There's the deceptions all over the place. Do the scientists always tell us truth?
No.
No, they deceive. How about the modernist apostate preachers?
No.
in churches. They just lie to the people. The people don't know the difference because they don't read their Bibles. They just believe everything. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Yes.
And I mean, you know, we're deceived too because these people may be really well educated on a certain subject, and they deceive us because we think, he knows more than I do.
Exactly. Yeah. What about the scientists teaching very clearly as truth evolution? See, aren't they educated people? Most a lot of them, yeah. But they're liars as well. They're deceivers. Yes, Bill.
Most of us, including scientists and educators and others, they're taught what to think, not how to think.
Yes, that's right. Educators, for example, most of the educational schools are taught Marxism and communism and socialism. I was taught that way back when I went to college. I was taught that in 1945, 46, 47, 48, long enough. A sociology teacher. He was teaching. I didn't know any better. Nobody taught me about the facts of the Constitution. I was absolutely ignorant of that. And this teacher said, he just said we do all kinds of social things and the government's wonderful and build up the whole thing. It's terrible. I was deceived by a man that I thought knew what he's talking about, so I accepted it. Stupid me. I didn't know the difference until I started. Dan Smook, Facts and Form, something like that. I got to listen to him on the radio in Dallas Center when I was a student at school in Dallas, Texas. And he taught what the Constitution says. He taught what government's supposed to be. And I straightened the whole thing out, and now I know what I'm doing. But before, I was a student.
Well, it's even worse. I mean, it's too extreme.
Yes.
Today.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you believe in creation, then, you know, you're basically not respecting that as science.
Right, right. And also, if you don't believe in global warming, you're insane, see? There's many people who taught the fallacies of global warming, of human beings, globally warming. It doesn't affect anybody. Go ahead, Dan, got something?
Reading from Wisconsin, it's windy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then this is a suggestion. We could have hot pink for our book.
Hot pink, okay. I made the 1 Corinthians, which is coming up now. I'm in chapter 1, about many, many months away when I get finished with 16 chapters. So long. We'll put hot pink.
Oh, baby pink.
Oh, baby pink is hot pink. Okay, thank you. Let's wait to make it Wendy and we're in Wisconsin. Okay, she's listening. What's that, Bob?
I don't think 1 Corinthians looks like baby pink.
Well, okay. Well, maybe a correction thing. We'll take, I mean, Rick and Wendy. Correction.
It's not even a joke anyway.
But we'll think about any of it. We'll make a color other than gray. We'll take no more gray. That's right. I mean.
I don't know
how brown
Ben Stein, who is Jewish,
yes,
put out a DVD called Exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, he talks about all the people. At one point, the head of the Smithsonian believes in intelligent design. We're not discussing God here. We're talking intelligent design.
Mm-hmm.
Lost his job because he believed intelligent design and wouldn't believe evolution.
Mm.
And his whole DVD was on people
who
were qualified to do what they did, but they lost their positions and the bias against them because they simply believed in creation.
It's interesting. Very interesting. That's it.
We have your comment from York, Jim.
Good.
Advertisements and campaign promises can be deceptive.
Thank you. Let's wave again. The third time. For little Anna. Anna Wade from York, Pennsylvania. Keep it up, Anna. We like what you say. Fill us in. You're the one that's graduated from college and partly through the master's level. That's good. They're in Aptogen. And you're very apt. And you're happy.
Thank you
for Anna. Oh, she's my little girl. Anyhow, she's big Anna. All right, I'll call her medium-sized Anna. She's our little girl, our little granddaughter. Anyway, she's big now. But she came to Collingswood as a baby, didn't she? And then she grew up here in Collingswood. In her mama and daddy's house. Okay. All right, so that's verse number seven, was it? We're finished? As he is righteous. Now, what do the Gnostics think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they agree with verse 7? Any hands on that? What do the Gnostics teach about the Lord Jesus Christ? No hands? Yes, Barbara.
In order to be righteous, Christ has to be perfect. So,
they would not believe, they wouldn't believe in his righteousness because they believed he was simply a man.
Simply a man, that's good. They believed he was a sinner, had to be saved, didn't die on the cross. Yeah. Back to that.
And he has responded.
Good.
He says, well, I still am rather short.
Goodness, wait there now. Yeah. Keep it going, Anna, every single time. We meet.
Good things come in small packages,
Anna. Yeah. Good things come in small packages. How about that? Short, okay. Very good. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. What's your hand?
I think about the same size, though.
What's your height?
5'2". I used to be 5'2", but I think I'm a little
maybe 5'2". What's Anna's height?
5'9".
Oh, 5'5", okay.
14 and a half.
Oh, my. Anybody else want to confess their height? Nobody? Okay. I'm 6, she's 6'1", I'm probably 46.
Rest of
us. Okay. That's all we see.
If you want to. No.
Sure,
it
we're fine.
But
if you're using the B.
Yeah, why does it matter if we're talking about short people?
Yeah. But if you're using the BMI, body mass index, you put in the weight. And the height, it gives you whether you're normal, heavy, or obese. BMI. So that talks about height. Anyway, so I don't know what to put in. I try to get her weight, my weight, but we're changing weight all the time, because although our name is weight, but we're changing it because our bones shrink as we get older, I guess. I suppose our vertebrae probably just set a little bit. So when you used to be 6'1", now I'm even down to 6. Probably, I don't know. We see a lot of people in the restaurants real tall. I asked one fellow, my wife asked one fellow, how tall are you? 6'5". Really tall. You see, that young little boy, we asked him too. He's sort of thin and skinny, but he's still very high.
Yeah.
So
that particular week, we kept seeing real tall people.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that's for some reason.
Really?
It was over in Wegmans, wasn't it?
Same place in Wegmans, yeah.
So, Anna? You may be shorter than tall, but you're still fine and then keep increasing in your knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the Word of God. Short or tall, no matter what.
Spiritual size.
Maybe tall, spiritual size. That's right.
How tall is Elias?
I don't know. He had a bed.
9 inches
was a bed. 9'9" was his bed, I think. Had a bed set, that was just.
That's well, odd, wasn't it?
The king of Asia?
Yeah.
Or it wasn't Goliath.
Feet,
no. Well, it does say Goliath. There's so many. It says.
I think it was 9'6" or
9'6". 9'9". I think it was 9'9".
It was Oz who had the bed.
It was Oz?
Yeah.
Oz. Okay.
Oz.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's about the same size as Goliath.
No,
he was 13?
He was 13. His bed was 13 feet.
I see. Okay, but
okay.
But 5 feet.
He was huge.
Yeah.
But
he must have a custom bed.
Anna's got the answer. Go ahead, Pastor.
You have it's kind of like a wavy strip.
Oh yeah.
There are giants in the land. We've already seen giants. I mean,
that's right. Thank you. Let's wave in. Fit that. Wave through. Thank you, Anna. Very good. Very good comment. At least you think people, maybe giants are in the land. Absolutely. We're little people.
And we're grasshoppers.
We're grasshoppers in the site. All right. So, the Lord Jesus is righteous. Oh, excuse me. Barbara. Don't call her that. That's serious.
Then we have this hope in ourselves and it purifies us, ourselves, even if we're pure. And then we come down here to 7, and if we continue to do righteousness, we're righteous even as He is righteousness. There's a pattern going on here.
Yes, righteousness, and sin is not, is pure. That's a characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of his possessions and his habits and his ways. Absolutely perfect, absolutely righteous. And then in verse number 8, how is the devil defined here? How is the devil? Okay, Barbara?
He's been from the beginning.
Alright. Just once?
He has continued to sin.
That's right. From the very beginning. What beginning do you think that speaks of?
Creation.
Creation. in the Garden of Eden? Even before that, that's right.
In heaven.
And that's one of the seven things in Ezekiel. Is it Ezekiel? Seven things. Here's a call. See what Rob has to say. Or maybe it's Jacob. On his cell phone. Or whatever. Hey, Rob. From Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Happy anniversary to you both.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, is that right? That was the year before your parents. His mom and dad are about the same age as we are. That's good.
So very, very good there. And the Septuagint describes Goliath being about 6 feet 5 inches.
Oh, my. What is it? What does the Hebrew say in the King James Bible? I think it's 6 feet 9 inches.
I'm looking at Wikipedia here, and they're not giving.
Right. Okay. Well, Tammy's got the answer to that question.
It says he's 6 cubits in a span.
6 cubits in a span.
Right? 4.
Okay.
17 4.
6 cubits in a span. So that's a cubit is a foot and a half, is
it? It's 9.9.
17 verse what?
17 4.
17 4. So that'd be 9 foot 9 inches. 9 foot 9 inches. 9 foot 9. Okay. Well, thanks very much. Yeah, God bless you. Bye bye.
I don't know what he's talking about.
It's waiting around in Chicago, Illinois.
Jacob went for gasoline, but the gasoline truck hasn't come in yet. So he asked for
So Jacob was able to hear it. But
okay.
For the generator, he needs the gas, and so.
Oh, they got a generator, but maybe they didn't get enough gas.
Well, they've run out. They had plenty of gas, but they've run out. Yeah. So that they went to buy gas, and the gas truck hasn't come into the gas machine.
So there's going to be some problems. If you knew that in advance, maybe you'd get 2 or 3 gas cans.
Well,
you know.
We had like 30 gallons.
We did? Oh, my. Well, I hope we get the... Yes, all right, so we're still in verse 7, are we? Move on. The Holy of the Devil, from the beginning. And where does it say those seven... Is it seven things the devil had, or 5 sins of the devil? Where's it
five?
Five. What? Where's it from?
Isaiah
14.
14.
Go ahead. Give us the 5 things. Isaiah 14.
Okay. So verse 11.
Verse 11.
Thy prophets brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven.
That's number one.
I will exalt my throne above the stars.
That's number two.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation.
That's number three.
In the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
Number four.
I will be like the most high.
Number five. It's good. 14 if I say it, huh?
Yes.
So these are interesting things, and he said it from the beginning. He said, I will be. He was a willful angel, wasn't he? Started out all right, but he gave in. And then, of course, as far as the world is concerned, where was the beginning of his sin there? When the world, in the earth, when was his beginning of sin? For that one. Any hands on that?
Yes.
Pardon? And upon that earth, see, in heaven, there's five different things, and I will be like, but while he was down on earth, and earth, one is the beginning of his sin there.
He approached me to deceive
her. Perceived the deceiver, the devil. He was a little serpent at that time, and that's where he began. From the beginning, he's a devil from the beginning. And then, what was the purpose that God was manifested? We're in chapter 3, verse 8. What was the purpose, Barbara?
That he might destroy the work.
That he might destroy the work. Manifest. What does manifest mean in this sense? What do you think that means? Any hands on that? He was manifested by?
Invisible.
Clear. When did that take place? Any hands on that? When did that take place? When was he manifest? Verse 8. Yes, read it. Barbara?
When he was born.
Okay.
What was the question?
When was he manifested?
Satan?
No, the Lord.
Oh.
The Son of God was manifested for this purpose. Verse 8, the Son of God was manifested. Yeah, Barbara?
Well, the angel of the Lord appeared throughout the Old Testament, but as far as when he came to destroy the works of the devil, mm-hmm. was when he was born.
All right. And what do you call that? When he was born. Okay.
Tammy?
What is it? A Christophany. Well, Christophany, Old Testament. What do you call it when he's born?
Incarnation.
Incarnation.
Okay, sorry, yes,
what does incarnation mean? Verse 8, 3 8.
I was looking at those verses in Ezekiel.
Yes.
It's interesting because it talks about the second question that you asked when Barbara answered about, you know, like Eden and how he mm-hmm. fell in Eden. In the garden of God, every precious stone was my covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, onyx, and jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in me in the days that I was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou hast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee.
Very good.
Which was in heaven.
That's
he
right.
Thought in his heart. Because right. It all began in his heart. He never said a word. He said, I knew. He thought in his heart.
Thought in his heart. And the two things about that, he's beautiful. Had all these beautiful arrangements. Mm-hmm. But also he's good in music. Yeah. Good in music. Tabris, yes.
The I will. In Isaiah,
yes,
that
Isaiah 14.
Mm-hmm. I heard an interesting thought today that I never thought about this week. You don't need a sin nature to sin. You only need a will. Because Satan willed, I will become.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam and Eve were perfect before they sinned, and they chose, they willed to sin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. That was a very interesting thought to me.
Well, they were not unrighteous, but he has, in other words, said a perfect, they were innocent. Yeah, innocent. In other words, they hadn't yet fallen.
Okay.
Yeah, right, that's right. So that's interesting. So Satan had a real wicked heart and a wicked will, as you say, wicked will. And the Lord Jesus was manifested for what purpose? We said it before. Repeating again, what's the manifestation for again, Barbara?
To destroy the works.
Destroy the works of the devil. What if 10?
That reminds me of Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and he, I don't have it in my, I can't get it started.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember how exactly how to start it in verses, but,
Hebrews 2, 14. Okay, we'll wait till you get it. Hebrews 2:14.
For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also took himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives had subject to bondage.
Yes, that's similar right here. You destroy the works of the devil. Goes back to Hebrews 2:14. 15. That's very good. Yes. Now, when was the devil judged?
Well,
And it hangs on that. When was the devil judged? No hands? Yeah, Bill.
At the cross.
That's right. At the time.
Well, he was judged to a certain degree when the curse was put upon him in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, right.
Wasn't he judged when God threw him out of heaven?
Well, it's possible in that sense, but he was judged even finally. His final commission and judgment was at the cross. When was when is God going to carry out the judgment? Pass it in.
What time was first?
What time?
The final judgment will be when he's thrown into the lake of fire.
Throwing a lake of fire, that's right. In other words, the judgment was there. He's just as guilty, he's going to carry out, but the sentence was then, but the carrying out of the sentence was then after he's torn into hell. It's a lake of fire.
But he doesn't live in heaven anymore.
Right? Oh, no, no. But he was thrown out of heaven, you're right. And so that was a judgment in a sense, but that was judged by God for what there. But the judgment of all the things he's getting done with us here. See, the thing that's the sins that he's involved with here among the people that live here, the people, I think that's was at the cross of Calvary, was judged. Sentence, but the carrying out of the sentence be later on. He's going to be judged.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Was he thrown out of heaven before he went to Eve, or was he thrown out of heaven after tempted?
All right. I'm not sure because if Pastor Danny has something on that.
I have two things. But I would say before, and then Genesis 3:15, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He'd already fallen from his state before coming to tempted.
Or before he tempted. Yeah. So that would be the answer. That's good, Pastor Danny. The Barbara?
You are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Yes.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of them.
Yeah, that's a good verse. So, destroy the works of the devil. That's why the Lord Jesus came. And he succeeded in that, because he's judged. But is the devil still active in this world today?
Yes.
He certainly is. And especially, who does he act through? What are his missionaries? Any hands on that? What are the devil's name? Yeah, Barbara?
His children.
And who are the children of the devil?
Those that are not
saved. All the non-genuine Christians are working, and he's really using these children of the devil to wreak all sorts of havoc upon this earth. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He works through his own children. And praise the Lord, we're not in Satan's kingdom anymore. Who is in Satan's kingdom, and when did they get there? Who's in Satan's kingdom, and when did they get there? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
We're all born in Satan's kingdom.
Like, when did we get there?
From Adam's nature.
From Adam's nature, from birth. Every one of us was born, not a child of God, but a child of the devil. And only when we trust Christ as our genuine Savior are we children of God, not the children. Yeah, we get out of the children's, of the devil's family, and the guy said, does the devil like that when we get out of his family? Does he like that? He does not like that. He doesn't like anybody that changes families. He wants them, puts the thumb right on them to keep them pace. Yeah. How does Satan train his children? Where do they get training for the devil's army? And hey, Barbara?
Know that we need a whole lot of training necessarily because the heart is desperately wicked, and out of it comes all this horrible thing. So we're just kind of do it.
The present time today, how are the children of the Pastor Dan?
They're born
that way. And how do they get better trained in his army? What helps them in this wicked world?
The world?
The world? What part of the world? That's right. That way.
The false preachers and education.
Internet, video, radio, books, magazines, I mean, all kinds of things. It's just the devil is filled with wisdom from him, his wisdom, to train his own children to fight against the Lord and hate the Lord and the Lord's people. That's the old devil, to destroy the works of the devil. Looks like we're still going here. Then in verse number Did we read 9? Oh, excuse me, Barbara.
Yeah, but before we get to 9, please, the concept of destroy here, it's not that I don't understand it, but I was wondering if there were implications, shades of what's in the word destroy, do you know?
Yes, I believe it's render impotent or to make not powerful, take away his power, to set aside his power and influence. In that sense, apollemy, I believe, is a Greek word, but I'm not sure of the details of the definition of it, but make him impotent to do so many things that he could do, but he can't do anymore. Destroy means render impotent, render useless, render impoverished, not with any power. That's, I think, the destroy. Destruction has to do with take away his effect, all that, not perfectly kill him or something, but remove all of his powers. Destroy in the sense of bring him down as to power and effectiveness. I think that's part of that. Apollemy. Yes.
That's just interesting because that's all he's about, power.
That's right.
Witchcraft can be called, it's nothing about power.
Yes.
And that's interesting that that's the thing that you emphasize.
Yes. Hey, Barbara? Excuse me, Tammy?
Oh, no, I'm just
then hand this up. I try to be kind. And then close and call him. Anyways. All right, so we're, is it 8 now?
We're 9. Yeah.
Oh, 9, that's right, yes. Now, did we read 9? We read 9, didn't we? Okay. Now, what is true, what does it mean to be born of God? And he has on the, Paul.
He filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's partly true. What else, Barbara?
He does not continually commit sin.
That's true, but being born of God.
John
3. Okay, yeah. So, Barbara, I mean, Joanne?
When we accept Jesus, we are born again.
That's right, accepting Jesus, Tammy?
John 3.
Yes.
When Jesus told him, like,
he must be born again.
And so he talks to him in John 3 about what it means to be born again. And Nicodemus was confused because he thought, do I have to enter into my mother's womb again? Mm-hmm. And Jesus told him that that which is born in the flesh is flesh, so mm-hmm. he's talking about the water birth.
Yes.
And then that which is
born of the spirit,
the spirit. And then he talked about, you know, how he had to be born of the spirit.
That's right.
And so it was not something that he could see. It was like the wind that, mm-hmm. you know, would have effects that could be seen, but the wind itself can't be seen.
That's right. So let's get passionate.
We went back to verse 8 from Sura's Luce. What we said? Luce? From Lua?
From Lua? Yes.
Lua, Luce.
That's what it is for destroy. Okay.
The Luce was destroyed.
Okay, the Luce. Luce is power. So that's the Luce is power. Alright. Alright, we're going to part right here. Now, we'll take up verse 9 next week, Lord willing, and continue with that. But do you have any comments or questions on the ones we've discussed so far? Right, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy word. We thank you for the Apostle John telling us straight information to us. We need it. It's instruction on our part. We hope that we will not fail to follow thy will and not continuously commit our sins. Help us, Lord, to confess and agree with thee that the sins are there and take it to thee, moment by moment, or hour by hour, whenever it happens, we may not continue to follow the works of the devil. He used to be our father. Now thou art our father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We've been born of thee. So help us to live to please thee. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.